All right. Well, good morning to all of you. You guys doing good? Yeah. Happy to be in the house of the Lord today. All right. Awesome. Man, it's been a great day so far. We had an amazing first service and, man, already having a wonderful second service right now. And I'm excited to dive into our fourth part in our series, Breaking Points. If you're new or, you know, just joining us in this series, man, we're glad that you're here. We've been studying the life of Joseph in Genesis. That story takes place in Genesis 37 all the way through Genesis chapter 50. It's a large story. It's an immense story. There's a lot to unpack. And that's what we've been doing over the last few weeks. And so for those that are, you know, just joining us or maybe aren't as familiar with the story, let me just kind of bring you up to speed on where we're at. So when we kicked this thing off in the beginning, I kind of shared to you about how Joseph had these dreams about him, you know, being raised up and his brothers and his father bowing down to him. And he shared those things. And in the midst of all of this, Joseph was also his father's favorite. And he had this coat of many colors. And he, you know, he decides to share these dreams with his brothers, and he ended up being a tattle on his brothers. And anyway, long story short, his brothers hate him, and they attacked him, and they threw him in a pit. And they're like, you know what, let's sell him into slavery. So the moral of the story is that brothers are great, and so we learned that. And so then he, you know, as a slave in an Egyptian household, he begins to prove himself trustworthy, a man of integrity, and his master puts him in charge of everything in his household. And as I was sharing last week, there was a statement, it was like, and Joseph was handsome and good looking. And you're like, oh, okay, I see where this is going. And so his master's wife takes notice and begins to pursue Joseph in intimate ways. And Joseph, you know, says no and ends up having to run because that woman was crazy. Okay, and so Joseph runs away, and then Potiphar's wife, his master, goes and tells him and makes up this story and lies about how Joseph did this thing to her. And then he ends up getting thrown in prison, falsely accused for something that he didn't do. Anyway, that is the very, very short version of what we've learned in the last couple of weeks. But that kind of brings you to where we are at today. Joseph is now in prison for doing nothing. Like he was just, all he did was run away. He was a man of integrity. And we see him go through each of these things in his life and struggle and have problems, but man, he continues to focus on God. And we're going to see that. And so in this next part of his story, we're going to talk about what it feels like to be forgotten, to be overlooked, to be undervalued, underappreciated. And we're going to see that take place in this next part. So we're going to be in Genesis chapter 40. If you want to get your phone out, turn to your Bible. It'll also be on the screen as well. So let's dive into this next phase. Here we go. After this, after he was in prison, the Egyptian king's cupbearer and baker offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh is angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and then put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned Joseph to them, and he became their personal attendant, and they were in custody for some time. The Egyptian king's cupbearer and baker, who were confined in the prison, each had a dream. Both had a dream on the same night, and each dream had its own meaning. And when Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they looked distraught. So he asked Pharaoh's officers, who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so sad today?" "We had dreams," they said to him, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Don't interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." All right, so Genesis 40, 9 through 13 are the dreams. I'm going to give you the short version of it. So the cupbearer has this dream. In this dream, there's this vine, and the vine has three branches, and those branches produce grapes. And from those grapes, he squeezes the juice into the Pharaoh's cup, and then he places the cup in Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph interprets the dream. He says, those three branches represent 3 days in which time you will be restored as the cupbearer to the Pharaoh. So the role that you had, though you're here today, you will be restored to it in 3 days. So the chief baker, hearing the good news about the dream that the cupbearer got, said, okay, now, what about mine? What about mine? And so he tells Joseph the dream. He says, there's three baskets on my head, and there's different baked goods in these baskets for Pharaoh, but birds were eating out of the basket on my head. And so Joseph gives the interpretation. Those three baskets, they represent 3 days, at which time Pharaoh will hang you and the birds will eat your flesh. Didn't go as well for the second guy. You know what I'm saying? And then the baker's probably like, dang, bro, like I hope you aren't a dream interpreter because I think you're wrong. Anyway, so that takes place. You don't really get any response. But here's what Joseph says after the cupbearer's interpretation. Because the baker didn't, you know, not all is going to go well for him. So he didn't say this to the baker. But when all goes well for you, remember that I was with you. Please show kindness to me by mentioning me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. For I was kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing that they should put me in the dungeon. So he says, I have helped you. Just when you go back to Pharaoh, because this is going to come true, will you remember me and help me get out of this place? And so then we go to verse 20, and it says, on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he gave a feast for all his servants. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and chief baker. So he brought them out of prison. Pharaoh restored the chief cupbearer to his position as cupbearer, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But Pharaoh hanged the chief baker just as Joseph had explained to them. And so we have these two dreams. Both dreams Joseph interprets. And the things that were in the dreams and what Joseph said was going to happen happened. And I think it's very interesting that like all of this started, the beginning of our story started with two dreams. Two dreams that Joseph had. He was a lot younger, maybe didn't fully understand, but was trying to understand, was trying to share those dreams. And those dreams ended up landing him in a pit, which led to his slavery, which led them to this moment. So the first two dreams put him in the prison. And these second two dreams are going to be the ones that bring him out of the prison. And so Joseph helps the cupbearer ask for help in being freed in return. And so, again, like you're reading through this story and we've been going through it and you're like, when is this guy going to catch a break? Surely this is it. Like he's had a tough go of it. Everyone's been against him. So this is his time to be free. And so that's what's going to happen next, right? Like he's going to be raised up. The cupbearer's going to go back and be like, I met this guy. He told me my dream. The chief baker's dead. And he said that would happen. And you should let that guy out. No, that's not what happened. You want to know what happened? Verse 23. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember him. He forgot him. It's like, thanks, bro. Like, what the heck? Like, I just, anyway. And so instead of being freed for like serving others, helping others, coming alongside others for being a man of integrity and honor and character, even while he's in prison, Joseph was forgotten. And I was reading through this, that's what stood out to me. He was forgotten. And you just think about all the ways in which he was probably feeling this. You know, with his brothers who tossed him in a pit, sold him as a slave, they just moved on. For his father, for his family, they were lied to about what happened to him, and they grieved the loss and mourned the loss of their son. And of course, they, moved on because they thought he was dead. The dreams that God gave him were, a distant and forgotten. He shows up to the Egyptian's house, and he gains his trust, and he's given authority, but in a moment, being deceived, it's all just tossed to the wayside. And then in the prison, he's helping others and interpreting dreams and giving them hope, and they just forget him. And in this moment, I'm like it's like, who's for me? He's got to feel so alone, so forgotten. He's facing this new, another breaking point on top of the other ones that have already happened. And I'm going, the temptation to give up has got to be so heavy. And after spending years in prison, we know of at least two, because the very next chapter says after 2 years, that's how long he was forgotten. But he was in there well before that. And so for years, just being in the prison for something that he didn't do, continuing to help and serve others, I wonder if the thoughts crossed his mind. Does anyone even care about me? Does anyone love me? Does anyone really need me? Does anyone remember me? Will anyone come and rescue me? Does my father still think of me? Do my brothers still hate me? Does God still have a plan for my life? Because the dream that he gave me is not what's currently taking place. Does my life have meaning or purpose? And I think in the midst of feeling that, feeling isolated, being forgotten, I'm guessing that he began to question his identity. What is my identity? Am I still the son of Jacob? Am I still a brother? Do the dreams that I have still matter? Is my interpretation still something that I should use? Am I still a Hebrew heir? Am I just an Egyptian slave? Am I just a prisoner? And is that all I'm going to be for the rest of my days? Does God still love me? Does God still have a plan for me? Now, I'm sure Joseph felt these things and he wrestled with all of these things. But what I know, because in the very beginning, the first week, I gave you the beginning and the end. And so we know the story. We've read the story. We know what happens. And we see Joseph's faith throughout the whole thing. And so what I can say, even though he felt these things and wrestled with these things, much like you and I do today, he held on to what he knew of God, to what God revealed to him in his dreams. And because of that, he remained faithful to who God was. And so even in the midst of his prison, of his pit, and all these things, he remained faithful to his identity in God, despite being forgotten. But that isn't easy. It's very hard for us to do the same things, because when we feel forgotten, when we feel unseen, when we feel betrayed, when we feel deceived, when we feel like things aren't going the way that we thought by others, it's easy to forget our God-given identity and purpose. What God has declared over our lives, what God has told us is going to come to fruition, who God has called us to be. And I think we've all experienced this, where we enter into places where we felt unseen, unvalued, overlooked, unappreciated. It's a mom who feels invisible to her husband and kids, a student who feels lost in the crowded classroom, a child maybe living in the shadow of a sibling, a teacher who is, you know, just overlooked by leadership, ignored by parents, disrespected by students. As an employee, it's me being passed over again and again. Or as a boss, trying to lead with honor and integrity, but never getting any recognition. It's someone with a disability, trying to find their place in an able-bodied world. It's someone young and inexperienced who is continually being compared to those who are older and more established. We felt this. We've experienced this. And then along with that, throughout our lives, we oftentimes tend to place our identity in things that do not last. It's a job we used to have. It's a relationship that's ended. It's a sport or activity that we used to play or do. It's a talent or role we can no longer fulfill. And then when what we do is taken away, or who we are with is no longer there, where what once defined us is gone, we begin to ask those questions. Who am I now? If that was my identity, or at least I believe that to be my identity, who am I now? And if I no longer have that, what am I even here for? And these are the questions. And I think the thing becomes is, like, how do we combat feeling forgotten? Feeling like we've lost our identity while we go through the problems. This is a difficult thing because we all go through this. Like, how do we continue to thrive, to stay hopeful when we feel like we're at the bottom and things will just never get better? Listen, when it seems like no one else values you or appreciates your convictions, or they overlook your contributions, when you feel shunned, shamed, isolated, when trust is broken or lost, when the relationship that you invested everything is over, when the job that you sacrificed everything for, they let you go. In the midst of that, have you lost sight of your God-given identity and purpose? And then now, or even back then, like, where have you been looking for it? Who or what have you allowed to define you and shape your worth? Can I just tell you, when these questions come, in the midst of whatever problem, whatever pain, whatever loss, whatever hurt, whatever you're feeling, when these problems come, you have to remember who made you, who loves you, and who redeemed you and saved you. Your true identity, it's not in what you go through. It's not in what someone else labels you or calls you or does to you. It's not in what you can do or accomplish for others or even for God. Our identity is found in what God's word declares over us. It's found in the salvation that God has given to us through his Son and in his Spirit that is working through us. That's where our identity should be in, no matter what we're going through, in the blessing, right, in the victory, as well as in the valley at the bottom, when in the problems and the pain. What his word declares over you, how Jesus has saved you, and the Spirit working in you, that is who you are, and nothing can ever change that or take that away from you. You got to rest in that. You got to remember that. And while in the midst of all of this, like we do, we feel forgotten, alone, isolated, cast out, guess what? We have a God that never leaves our side. He is always there. He will remain faithful to us, and that means that we got to continue to remain faithful to him. I was reminded of Deuteronomy 38, verse 8. This is what it says. It says, "The Lord is the one who will go before you. He is the one who will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." And this is a powerful promise that we got to keep with us when we go through those painful pits, deceitful, hurtful prisons that we're cast into, when we are experiencing our breaking point. You need to remember that you are a son and a daughter of the King. You are loved, you are seen, you are redeemed, you are not forgotten, and you are not forsaken. Remember that. With whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with, he is with you. And because of that, if you have that knowledge, if you believe that about who God is, then that means you need to, even in your problems, in your pit, in your prison, whatever you're going through, continue to serve him. Continue to pursue him. Continue to live for him. Continue to be faithful and obedient to the things that he is calling you to. When you remain faithful in your problem, in your pit, in your prison, in your pain, when you remain faithful and obedient to who God is and in his sovereignty, you will experience the plan that he has for you. It's going to be hard. It's going to be challenging. It's not going to go the way that you thought it was going to go. That's okay, because God is still sovereign. God still loves you. God is still with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. And Joseph shows us this. Like, even as a prisoner, right? A slave and a prisoner. Guess what he continued to do? Help people, serve people. He used his gifts and talents to help others. He's sentenced in prison and he continues to live his life with honor, integrity, loyalty, and faithfulness. He uses his gifts of dream interpretation to help others, even though that was the very thing that got him into the predicament that he's currently in now. He says, "This is who God called me to be, and I'm going to continue to follow it, no matter the suffering, the trials, or the problems that I may face." You know, there's something else that stood out to me as I read through Genesis 40. Potiphar may have thrown him in prison for what took place between him and his wife, but he never stopped trusting him. Genesis 40, we read that. You know, it says that the captain of the guard assigned Joseph to the prisoners. Do you know who the captain of the guard was? It was Potiphar. And it goes on to say that even in prison, Potiphar goes, listen, I know that what took place may not be the truth, and so I continue to trust the integrity that you have. And so that means that Joseph didn't lose his role. He was just reassigned to a new location, and he was removed from sexual temptation. Now, I think this is such a great promise because Joseph would not have thrived where he was because the sexual temptation was not going to stop or relent on attacking him. And so he was moved from one location to another, and in that location, he was continued to be trusted in, given authority, and was able to help others with the role and the gift and the talent that he had. And so even though he was technically imprisoned, Potiphar still trusted him, gave him responsibility, allowed him to use his gifts. So here's the deal. Just because our environment changes or our circumstance changes, that doesn't mean that your assignment or identity changes with it. You continue to be used by God in the ways that God has called you to be used, even in the pit, even in the prison, even in that hard place, even in your problems. Continue to serve. Continue to lead. Continue to be obedient and faithful so that you can make an impact the way that God has called you to make an impact. Because our greatest breakthroughs happen when we remain faithful in the breaking points. We continue to see who he is and what he has for us. And I know that's hard, right? It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to do as we're going through it, as we're in the thick of it. It's easy to forget our identity in the midst of tension, of transition, of turmoil, of trials. And I think often when we're facing those moments, when we're facing those breaking points, what we tend to do is we push away. We push away from people, being around people. We push away from God and being in his word and praying to him and worshiping him. We feel unmotivated. We feel uninspired. We lack energy to do what we're called to do, much less continue to serve others and connect others because it's hard. But the very thing that God wants to use to help break through in our breaking points, the people that he's put around us already, oftentimes is the very thing that we avoid. And it may be different. Maybe you avoid telling people because there's shame that comes along with it. Or you told them something was going to happen a certain way and now you're wrong. So there's pride that comes along with it. Oftentimes we tell ourselves that we don't want to be a burden on somebody else. Can I tell you today, the people that God has put around you right now today in this season are meant to carry your burdens with you and you for them. And so whenever we're going through stuff, don't back down. Don't shut down. Don't isolate. Man, you got to continue to pursue God, continue to pursue others, continue to serve others, continue to lead others, continue to help others. And it's so important that we do that. Continue to reach out, connect. Because our willingness to serve in the midst of our breaking points may be what leads us to God's breakthrough in our lives. We just keep going. We keep moving towards him and the things that he's called us to. You know what I love about this is that this is what Jesus modeled for us. Serving through suffering. Believing through the breaking. Hoping in the hurting, and loving through heartache. If you've read Jesus' story, you see that. He suffered for us to bring us comfort. And this leads me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. It said, God comforts us in all of our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction through the comfort we ourselves receive from God. We are comforted in our afflictions to then comfort others in their afflictions. And guess what? Most of the time when we're going through something, someone else is going through something. It may be worse. It may not be worse. But we are still called to give comfort as comfort is given to us, right? For as the suffering of Christ overflows to us, so through Christ, our comfort also overflows to others. And he did that for us. And just as the things that he did weren't just for himself, the things that are done for us aren't just for us, they're also to help connect to others. Hebrews 12:3, for consider Jesus who endured such hostility from sinners against himself so that you won't grow weary and lose heart. Even in the suffering, even in the pain. Man, Jesus was brought low. He was betrayed. He was beaten. He was crucified. But he remained faithful even at his breaking point on the cross. And guess what? That breaking point led to the greatest breakthrough this world has ever seen. It's called the empty tomb. It was through the suffering. Jesus' breaking point on the cross led to breakthrough in an empty tomb. And it wasn't just for him, it was for you and I, for all of the world, so that we could be comforted in our afflictions and in our suffering. So here's what we must never lose sight of. Even in our breaking point, even in your pain, even in your problems, Jesus is still Lord. He's Lord over all. He's Lord of all. And I think in the midst of whatever you're going through, you got to remember that. He's still sovereign. He's still victorious. He still provides a way for you to get out. He still provides redemption. Nothing will ever change the fact that he is Lord, that he has victory over both sin and death. The other thing is when our plans fall apart, God's plans will always prevail. So what he told you was going to happen, believe it. Regardless of what you're going through now, and that you don't want to go through it now, that very thing could be leading you to what God already told you. Because his plans always prevail. Some of you today, I know you feel forgotten. I know you've lost sight of who you are in God. You're stuck in asking the questions of what if. What if I wasn't betrayed? What if this didn't happen? What if this didn't go this way? You're stuck still feeling that betrayal, still feeling that loss, still feeling that loneliness. And so you have a choice today. In your breaking point, you can choose to wallow or you can choose to worship. You can choose to continue to just let the hurt compound and weigh you down, or you can choose hope. You can choose to remain in fear, or you can choose faith. You can choose to remain bitter, or you can choose forgiveness. And those choices matter. And they determine whether or not your breaking point will become a breakthrough. And they reveal who or what you've actually put your identity in. So, will you let your problems break you? Or will you believe that through them, God is bringing breakthrough? Church, I'm gonna ask that you would bow your heads, close your eyes. Just as we close out our time together today, in a moment of reflection in our life, I'll ask the question again. Where have you felt forgotten, unseen, overlooked, betrayed? Who or what has caused you to lose sight of God giving you identity and purpose in your life? Maybe it's in infertility. Maybe it's in your singleness. Maybe it's in divorce. Maybe it's in being a widow. Maybe it's in the marital strife that you've been experiencing. Maybe it's in an addiction that you struggle in. Maybe it's in a health diagnosis or a disability. Maybe it's financial pressure. Maybe it's job loss or a season of directionlessness. Regardless of all those things, today don't forget who God is, who God called you to be. And maybe in your breaking point, it wasn't sin that, your sin that got you to this breaking point, but maybe in your breaking point, you've chosen to sin because of what you're going through. And in the midst of it, you've lost faith. In the midst of it, you stopped pursuing God. In the midst of it, you ran from God and you began to lose trust and you began to try to take control of the situation because you didn't believe he had it. Listen, friend, it may not have been sin that got you in that pit, but if you continue to sin, you'll never get out of it. God is the only hope. Pursuing him is the only hope. Believing in him is the only hope. He is the one who reaches down and pulls us out of the depths of our pain and our problems. And he redeems us, calls us his. So if you find yourself pushing away from him, I would say right now, turn and run to him. Because he is where we find healing and hope and purpose and identity. And what he has for us is what is best for us. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're holding on to, whatever's keeping you in your breaking point, if you want breakthrough, that means you got to surrender it to him. Bring it to the foot of the cross so that you can walk out of the empty tomb. That's what he wants for you. That's what he has for you. God, today, just like Joseph, we wrestle and we question the things that we've gone through, the heartache and the hurt that we've experienced. And I think that's normal. And I think that's okay. But in the midst of it, it's not okay to lose faith in who you are and that you're sovereign over all and that Jesus is Lord over all. So God, today, would you bring us back to that truth? Would you draw us back into your loving arms and your loving embrace, believing that we are your sons and daughters, that you love us, that you've redeemed us, and that your plan for us is perfect and will bring you glory. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for your spirit today. Thank you for freedom that is found, hope that is found, healing that is found only in you. It's in your son's name that I pray. Amen.